A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode of Millennial Love contains themes that some viewers may find distressing.
Hello and welcome to Millennial Love, a podcast from The Independent on everything to do with love, sexuality, identity and more. You may notice that we are not in our usual glamorous studio backdrop with beautiful fake vine leaves and fairy lights, so apologies for that. Instead, we have this gorgeous substitute plant in our office. We will be back in a few weeks in our usual office spot. It's just that we're moving offices right now, so we are in a temporary place for the next few weeks. But that doesn't mean that the podcast is stopping. This week, I am very excited to be joined by writer and now author Iona David, who runs the popular Beam Me Up Soft Boy account on Instagram. If you don't already follow it, you absolutely have to do that right now. But today, she joins me on the show to discuss what a soft boy actually is and how running her account led to the publication of her first book, Is This Love or Dopamine? Hello, Iona. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And now, we talk a lot about soft boys on this show, as regular listeners will know. But for those who need a refresher, could you start us off by explaining what a soft boy actually is? And I know that you talk about a few different types in the book.
Well, there's like a very general definition of a soft boy, which is what I thought it was when I started the account, which is just any like alternative man who presents himself alternatively, and like it's just like he's wears docks or like Vans, or like it's like a very wide, it casts a really wide net, like the general soft boy trope. But then the account has kind of led to an expose of like more sinister kind of, it's where they use like emotional awareness and like emotional language, and like they're just basically, the ones that end up on the account are the ones that like fuck people over, but do it in like a really like faux academic, like unnecessarily wordy way. I still can't think of like a succinct definition for it after I've done so many of these podcasts, but that's about as close as I can get.
And I really love the way that you talk about the different types in the book. One of the ones that you talk about is the sort of the nice guy. And
yeah,
like, so
the nice guy is like, there's like, it's like a big like section of the soft boy, because, and the nice guy is like always existed. It's like, yeah, why am I being nice to women when I'm not getting anything in return, which obviously means that you're not nice. And it's existed like forever. Like Ross Geller from Friends, I think, is the original nice guy. And he has a lot of overlap with the soft boy, because he's like, well, I'm so nice and sensitive. And like, I listen to the Smiths, like, why doesn't she love me? Like that guy in 500 Days of Summer. There's like a big overlap between the nice guy and the soft boy, for sure.
And do you think the issue with that, the kind of the nice guy thing, is that when they do behave badly, because obviously no man is, like just no woman is immune to behaving badly. When they do, it's almost like they are never going to recognize it in themselves, because they have framed themselves as a good guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's like, it's so easy to get, I don't know. I have been thinking about it a lot when writing the book. Like it is a thin line to walk between being a nice guy, capital N, and just being a nice person, like a kind person. But I think if you ever reach the point where you have to say, I'm so nice, why is this happening to me? Then you can maybe take a step back. Because it is, as well, the nice guy is really interesting, because it's quite a, it's kind of, you can quite easily go down that road and end up as like a more like dangerous sort of man. Like if you talk to other men on Reddit, for example, I talk about this in the book, and if you find a forum of men who are all like, we're all so nice, why is this happening to us? And then you're like, oh, maybe it's women that are the problem. And then if you go down that road, it can end up quite scary quite quickly, which is just like terrifying. So we tried to avoid the nice guys.
Yeah, I loved some of the, because obviously throughout the book you include screen grabs of some of the messages that you get sent, because all of the posts on Beam Me Up Soft Boy are screen grabs of conversations from soft boys with presumably your followers. And one of the screen grabs that I loved that you used for the nice guy was a guy sending a message to a girl, I'm guessing on a dating app or on a text, saying, just a small town girl. And then the woman replies, living in a lonely world. And then the guy replies, well, I know this is kind of weird and pushy, haha, but would you like to have sex with me? I'm not a creep or a pervert, just a genuine guy. I would treat you with respect and the sex would be good. I can even make you squirt if the connection is right, haha. I will not judge you or think you're easy. So yeah, excuse me if I come across as a little uncalibrated, but I think you're attractive. So what do you think? Smiley face, haha. And then no reply for a couple of hours. And then she took the midnight train going anywhere from him again. I love this so much. Apart from the obvious, like, strangeness of him going straight in to asking this woman to sleep with him, what is it about that message that makes him a kind of archetypal nice guy? Is it almost the like ha-has and the smiley faces?
Yeah, it's all of the like pretending to be all nice and genuine, but like it's really interesting because that is from Reddit. That big body of text is like a copy and pasteable thing that men send to each other and say like, try this out on a dating app. Because I've had it sent into me loads of times, like from different people. So this guy came up with this template and he said, if you're not having success with women, try this, because then they'll know that you're nice. But obviously the act of like searching for a template and using it, like, I don't think that's anyone's definition of nice.
Oh my God, that's bizarre. I can't believe that. And then the other, well, it's manipulative and it's deceptive and it's completely inauthentic,
yeah.
And also like coercive. But there's another figure that you use where the guy says, well, ain't you just perfect, kiss. I seriously mean that, smiley face, kiss. And then no reply, sorry, just being nice, kiss. And then the woman replies, thanks. And then he replies, fuck off.
I love that so much. Yeah, it's literally a facade. It's like you're being nice, but you're obviously like, I don't know. I just put, but like, that's the, like the ones that I get sent in, they are just really funny. Like the comedic timing of that is just impeccable. Like, it's like you're reading from like a script or something. It's just, you've got to laugh at these things, because like there are so many, well, not so many. It's a small percentage of men. I want to make that clear. It's a small percentage of men that are like this, but like there are more than you would think out there. And it's just, it's horrifying, but it's funny how similar.
Yeah, it's funny how similar they are, and how in denial about they are. How much of it do you think comes from a degree of narcissism then? Because I think to me it sounds like a lot of that is what's fueling this kind of behavior, because it's like they, for example, the men who maybe send those screen, that kind of like template that they are advised to send, it's like it doesn't become about the woman they're pursuing. It becomes about like almost winning that woman and like gratifying their own desires and like proving to themselves and perhaps the other men in those Reddit forums that they sort of like won that woman over, you know? I think that's...
No, definitely. It is narcissism for sure. Like, it's just like low-level narcissism thinking that you are owed something from this woman.
Do you think a soft boy can ever recognize the fact that they're a soft boy?
Oh, 100%. I get loads of men being like, I'm a soft boy. But then also on the good side, there's like men being like, am I a soft boy? And I'm like, I don't know. And like, I'm not going to check. I don't offer that as a service. I can't like scan your profile and like tell whether you're a soft boy or not. Men being like, I was a soft boy, but I like using your account as like a indicator of what not to do, which is very encouraging to hear. It's 1/3 men, 2/3 women, according to Instagram, who follow my account. So I think because I'm very clear on it, because, and I want to stress on this podcast as well, the different types of soft boy. There is a wholesome soft boy, one who just is alternative and like has the same music taste as you. He's just like the indie boy, but like isn't emotionally weird and will not fuck you over. And that's most of them. And I think that there are a lot of them that follow that page. And, you know, you can be self-aware. I even say in the book, like, if we're using soft boy as a gender neutral term, I can definitely say that I would be a soft boy. I've definitely done some of that shit before. I've definitely messaged people being like, oh, you haven't heard of this film, especially when I was younger. I think there's a bit of a soft boy in all of us.
Yeah, it's about this, it's like that kind of underlying smugness about like subversive parts of culture, isn't it? I think that's so much of what defines it.
Yeah, literally. I write about in the book about like an early instance of soft boyism that I did, which is when I like heard Only Girl in the World by Rihanna played on the radio, like for the first time. And I was like, oh, this song is so underground and cool. And like, I'm the only one who knows it. And then like, obviously everyone started listening to it because it's Rihanna. This was when I was in like year 7 and everyone started listening to it. I was like, what the fuck? Like, you don't appreciate it like I do. And like, yeah, you see a lot of that behavior with like men and Radiohead now, except they're like grown men and I was like 12. So yeah, it's like an immaturity, like gatekeeping as well is another kind of soft boy.
Yeah, I liked that you spoke about gatekeeping. I think there's a lot of that. I see a lot of that with the men I know with like foreign films, indie foreign films.
Oh my God, don't even get me started. Yeah, even within, like it's rampant and like, you know, they might not even know they're doing anything wrong, but it's like...
Well, above anything else, I mean, it's funny to hear someone feel very proud about the fact that they have read a book that you've never heard of or seen a film that you've never seen, when obviously we're all different and have different life experiences, and I'm sure there are plenty of things that, you know, you have seen and read that the other person wouldn't have. So it is funny when someone thinks that that makes them somehow superior. But above anything else, it's just not a very nice way to behave, because it's like you get off from embarrassing the other person by making them feel inferior. And I suppose if we're talking about the darker side of soft boys, which I will come onto, it then sort of becomes a form of obtaining control, because it's about sort of asserting your authority and your supremacy. And then there are some people who would react to being told like, oh, you've never seen that film, by being like really embarrassed and then being desperate to please the other person. And then thinking, oh God, you know what? I am inferior. Like, I should see that film. Why haven't I seen that film? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The sort of psychological thing.
Exactly. And it's like, because it's content, like a lot of this stuff is films that are like designed by, written by, and like designed for men, like have like Quentin Tarantino films or whatever. And they get like, some men get upset when women like it, and they are quite shocked when women like it. But then also like on the flip side, there's like content that's designed for women. And if you are like open about the fact that you enjoy like rom-coms or whatever, then that will be met with the same kind of disdain. And it's like, it's almost like we can't win. It's like,
yeah, it is funny, the kind of cultural like polarization that I think we subscribe to, and the like the levels of intelligence that you attach to certain things. Like, I know that, you know, I dated a guy once who thought that my obsession with reality TV was really basic, in quotation marks, and, you know, used to make fun of me for loving Love Island and watching Love Island all the time. And I wanted to say to him, like, some of the smartest women I know are obsessed with reality TV. And if you're looking down on those women, like, that's on you. And that says a lot more about you than it does about the women engaging with reality TV in an intellectual way. Tell me a bit about how you started the account and what made you want to start it. How quickly did it grow?
I wanted to start it because I just, like, at its core, it's about, like, having a laugh and laughing. Even though it might not seem that way and it gets quite dark sometimes. So we were just messing around on my friend's phone in uni, and sending her then boyfriend like dumb text being like, say you love me. And he replied like, watch this short film, it's sick. And then he sent her a picture of this weed and was like, check out this rare weed, lol. And I was like, this is getting screenshotted 100%. And then I just put it on my Instagram. I was like, send in your other indie soft boy screenshots. But back then it was a lot more wholesome, because there was a lot less people sending stuff in. And I just posted anything that I thought was funny. Like, it would just be like, oh, just going to a record store shop to look and look around at some records, which obviously now, like, I don't know, I would post it and I'd be like, lol, but like, then it very quickly spiraled into like a men behaving badly kind of thing.
How long ago was this?
This was like 4 years ago. Okay. But I just...
You were posting it on your own account, or you set up a dedicated account straight away after that weed post?
I had another meme account back in the day that was pretty popular, and oh my god, that's such an embarrassing screen grab sound bite.
No, it's not. What was it?
It's called Dank Memes for Home Counties Teens. It's still about, and I posted it on there, and then enough people, I had a story series on there, and then enough people sent them in that I was like, I've got to make a page because someone's going to do it at some point. And now at this point, like, obviously the book, there's a lot about soft boys in there and stuff, but I would say it's more just like men behaving badly in general, because some of the funniest ones are kind of like, I can't not post them, but they're definitely not a soft boy, they're just like weird behavior.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, I think as we've become more familiar with the soft boy terminology, it has become more aligned with men behaving badly, because like you said, I think initially it was almost like embraced, and it was like, oh, this is a wholesome type of man who is just kind and gentle and is the antithesis to the stereotypical alpha male and isn't trying to prove anything and isn't dominated by ego. And it was like seen as a good thing. And then I think what happened is certain men started adopting that persona, or people who have that persona, and then almost kind of hid behind it to get away with behaving badly.
It's like the internet reacts to things in ways that are unpredictable. So like, it was a soft boy, it was like wholesome and good, you're like way back, like back before the account even, that's what it was known as. And then if like people have such different opinions on the internet that if I posted a wholesome soft boy screenshot, people would be just as savage and mean in the comments as if you'd like emotionally abuse someone. So you can't really do that. And then people would be like, what is a soft boy? And I would try and make the spectrum clear of like wholesome on one end, bad on the other end. But then that's nuance, and the internet just fucking hates that stuff. It really hates nuance and it can't deal with it. And like, so now I just, it has now, the definition has evolved like with the community that follows me, and now it basically is like an insult to be called a soft boy. Even if I don't personally think it's an insult, that's kind of what the internet has conceded.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tell me a bit about the account and like why you think it's grown so much and why you think it has become so popular, because you've got over, what is it, 600,000 followers now?
Yeah, it just keeps growing, which I think is in part to do with soft boys, but partly because we've only just had this like ability to screenshot conversations, which is a bit like 1984-ish if you think about it for too long, but people do find it really interesting. It's kind of in the same way as like reality TV, you're just snooping on other people's business and seeing what people get up to, which I think is, yeah, it's a new thing and people just find it really interesting, and also it's that's part of it, but also it's kind of like, it's kind of become like a bit of a guide in a way, which is unintentional on my part, but it's like an example of like bad behavior and like what you should tolerate and what you should not tolerate, and like just people like knowing that they're not alone, and being able to laugh at it is a big tonic for like men being shit, which has always been the case and will always be the case.
And how many screenshots do you get sent like normally on a day?
Like between 50 and 100.
Wow.
So it's, I've become quite good at just like, yeah, scanning through them. I should probably, like, if I spend loads of time looking at all of them, I'd love to make like a graph out of like keywords that people have been using and stuff. I think that'd be really interesting. Like there are some of them that are just like horrible behavior. Some of them are so horrible that I don't post them. Some of them I'm just like, this is not funny, obviously. This is just huge red flag and you shouldn't accept. If anyone starts to do this in your life, you need to get rid of them.
Now, talk to me a bit about the book, because that obviously goes into a lot more than just soft boys and kind of looks at the modern dating scene from like a wider lens. When you sat down to start writing it, what kind of things did you want to include and what made you want to look at the sort of online dating landscape as a whole?
I didn't really realize at the time, but I did study media and communications at uni, so that is kind of running through it. It's just about how we communicate now that everything's online, through the lens of relationships. But I knew that I wanted to make it like very lighthearted, because I actually know, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this podcast, I know very little about online dating, I don't know about relationships, I'm not particularly good at them. I just was like, let's have a look at what other people have done that through the screenshots that have got it really wrong, and kind of build a kind of how-to guide based off the opposite of what they do, which is an interesting way to do a book. And I didn't realize how, yes, it was a lot writing but we made it to the end.
I love the disclaimer. You have a few disclaimers peppered throughout the book, and one of them, when you're talking about soft boys and fuck boys, I'm going to read it out because I think this is great, and also it makes me wish I had disclaimers in my book. These labels apply almost exclusively to men. I have to keep myself entertained. Writing this book and taking the piss out of my fellow women does not quite hit the same high as dragging men through the mud. If you are looking for content that neatly judges and categorizes women instead of men, feel free to check out literally any blog or podcast with the words menist or men's rights in it. See Jordan Peterson, Joe Rogan, etc. Do you get a lot of messages from men sort of complaining and being like, hey, surely women can be soft boys, why is it soft boys, this is sexist the other way? Or do you get a lot of that? Yeah, or not really?
I get a fair amount of it, but from speaking to some other like vaguely feminist leaning accounts, no more than any account like that gets. I got an email the other day from a man, which this really got to me, because it was a 50-year-old man who's raising a daughter, and he was like, women like you like put more fear in the future of my daughter than something really bad. And I was like, oh my god, how did you find my account?
Yeah,
my account. You're a 50-year-old man from like Chicago. What's going on?
So wait, did you reply to him? Do you
no,
ever engage?
You're replying to no. These people. I learned yeah, that really
In the intro to the book, on this note, you write about the sort of popular phrase, men are trash. Which I must admit I do use quite regularly myself. But I think there's been a lot of talk recently about why we shouldn't really use that phrase. And you write in the book how this is not a book exclusively about men being trash. So why was it important for you to spell that out? And do you think we should stop using that phrase?
I don't think we should stop using that phrase, but I think I know that there's a lot of men reading my book. Like, I've heard a lot from men reading my book. It's really not about that, because I don't know, in few, like, I love what writing about very general stuff, but like also very specific. So there's like loads of chapters on emojis, and like, no, there's one chapter which goes into loads of different emojis, and like a man would enjoy reading that. Like, it doesn't talk about like misogyny within emoji usage. So I just wanted to not scare them off, so that they would keep reading. And then we get into it like a few chapters in, and then I'm like, oh, here's how not to be a shit person when you're dating.
I want to ask you about the cycle of online dating that you put in the book, which I've never read it so relatable that way. And it also was really bleak. It's in the men of trash section, and it's sort of like, I'll see if I can show on the screen. It's like a little diagram like this, like a little circle. So if we start here, it says, you download a dating app, do some swiping, have a few conversations, meet someone who seems all right, let your guard down, embark on a relationship journey, observe in horror as it inevitably and theatrically goes down the pan, have sex with them a few more times just to make sure it's really over, pain, self-improvement, you download a dating app.
When I hear it read out, it does sound quite bleak. I will say that I was in quite a bleak place personally when I wrote that book, and the first draft of it was way bleak than that, and my editor had to say, listen, like, this has to be relatable, we have to relax a little bit and put like some nice happy endings at the end.
It is true. That is exactly what it's like every single time. And then you have the pain, you have the theatrical breakup, you go back to them, you have sex a few more times just because it's confusing, then you have the pain, and then you're like, right, I'm on a healing journey, I'm gonna listen to Lizzo, I'm gonna drink my smoothies or whatever it is that she sings in that song, and then you download another dating app, and then it all happens again.
No, literally. And you think that it won't happen again. Like, I was doing a few events and podcasts and stuff a few weeks ago, and I was listening to people talk about love, like these people who have been talking about it all their lives, and I was like, oh, it's so interesting that you think you have to write a book, like that you have to like get so complicated about it, because I have found the answer, just find someone who's nice and not a dickhead, and then it'll work fine. And then literally instantly went straight down the pan.
Well, I think that taps back into what we were saying about soft boys, because it's very easy to meet someone nice and think that they are nice. And this is when the manipulative side of a soft boy, I think, comes into play and is important to be talked about, because like I said before, it's those people who kind of hide behind their, you know, the projected self that they have, and the way that people around them see them, the way that they've always been made to feel like they're one of the good guys. You know, very often I think these kind of soft boys are some of the most loved boys in their friendship group. They have a lot of friends who are women.
It's really trippy. Because,
and that's all part of it, because those women around them will never realize how that man behaves with women who he's in a romantic relationship with. So it's very easy for him to get the validation from the women in his life.
Really, I hadn't thought about it that way, but like,
do you know what I mean? I think so many of these men I know, they are surrounded by women who, because they will never see them behaving in a romantic context. And because these men are manipulative, they will be good at convincing their female friends that they are good.
Yeah.
And you
do kind of see it as a green flag if a guy has lots of female friends. So
exactly. But I think sometimes it's the opposite, because those women might not really know who he is, but they're constantly telling him how good he is, and he feels like he's good to women because he's surrounded by women. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's like, they're never going to be able to recognize when they're treating a woman badly, because they think that they're always treating a woman nicely.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to screen record this and send it to a few people that I have blocked.
But I guess my question is, I mean, can you tell? I know a few men like this. But my question is, where do you think the idea of the soft boy correlates with emotional abuse? And I guess also, you know, because I think you talk about emotional abuse in a few interviews, but I don't think that like a screenshot of messages can necessarily illustrate emotional abuse, but it might illustrate someone who is capable of emotional abuse, right?
Yeah, that's true. It is definitely oversimplified when I say, like, and I don't think I've ever said on the account, this is abusive, but you can people have, might like, say it's red flags. It's like big red flags that you cannot ignore. Like, and there are some that are just really sad. But yeah, like you say, like, I'm not accusing any of these men of being emotionally abusive, because like, these are messages taken out of context, but it is good to spark a conversation. Like, I've seen a few recently that's like, I like my kind of woman is like insecure, so that she's easier to manipulate. Like, someone actually said that, and it's like, well, you've just written like a perfect example of like how a lot of men think. And like, yeah, I'd like to think it, like, it starts a conversation about it. I never went in with the intention of like exposing that behavior, so it's a bit of a like, very happy to do it, but it is a bit of a tightrope of like not throwing labels around that are gonna negatively affect the men. But then, yeah, like, especially, I don't know, I do feel very passionately about it, because there are a lot of younger women that follow my account, and it is helpful to know, like, you don't get taught it, and it can be really harmful, and so it is helpful to know what you don't have to put up with.
Totally. I think, like you said, you know, emotional abuse is a very complicated thing, and often it's about a pattern of behavior that is obviously very difficult to convey in a message. But that one message that you spoke about just then, where a guy's like, I like insecure women because they're easier to control, that's, I mean, I'm amazed that he identified that.
Yeah.
But that is, I think, subconsciously a thing that a lot of this small portion of, you know, emotionally manipulative soft boys, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote about this recently with Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, always dating younger women.
That's so interesting.
And about how, you know, typically younger women under 25, are more insecure, less financially established, less emotionally established, less, you know, they don't have a stable job necessarily. And so the power dynamic of an older man, especially someone as powerful as DiCaprio, or someone with money and status, it's a very powerful thing. And it would be very easy for him to manipulate a much younger woman, as opposed to a woman his age, who is more aware of themselves. I'm not saying DiCaprio is a soft boy. Who knows?
No, it is interesting, though. It is just an interesting way of, like, these men have never been, these men, I maintain that they've always existed, but they've never been caught so in the act of it before. So, yeah, I just kind of treat it like a museum. I'm like, this has happened. Like, do what you will with it.
Yeah. Finally, I have to ask you, how many, if any, soft boys do you think you have dated?
Definitely like 5 that I knew were soft boys and I have known were soft boys. And then recently I've been on like a anti-soft boy kind of thing. No, soft boys in disguise kind of goes against all of the definitions of a soft boy. But anyway, yeah, I've dated lots. I've dated many.
What? How do the men you date react when you tell them about the account that you run and the work that you do?
Initially, I started it when I was at uni. I'll be very honest, I can't really remember how they reacted, because I was very drunk for a lot of uni, and I just started the account. But now, it's up and down. It's like they'll react in different ways, and I try not to read into that as like a indicator of like what kind of person they are. But guy I dated most recently was just like terrified of being put on the page. He was like, even like weeks into dating, he was like, you're gonna record these conversations and like put them on the page. And I was like, fucking no, like, get a grip.
Finally, this is the part of the show where I ask everyone to share a lesson in love. So it's about sharing an experience that you've learned from your previous dating experiences, someone who taught you something you taught yourself. It can be very specific or very general. Iona, what's your lesson in love?
Just like, there are many, many, many people out there, and even that, like, if someone gives you loads of red flags, and if you're getting a bad vibe, or if they've told you that they don't want a relationship and you do want a relationship, it might seem really obvious, but like, just stop talking to them. Like, you cannot, you know, they're not that special. You cannot change them. You can't try and convince them. It's a waste of energy. And also, you cannot trust anyone. No, I'm joking. But also, like, you know, yeah, I've not really learned that much. You think you know about it, but you don't. And I don't think anyone really knows about it. And it's very scary and it can get really bleak. So...
Buckle up.
So you have to laugh at it. That's what I was going to say.
I think that's actually really good advice is just being able to laugh at it, because I think even in the bleakest of scenarios, you know, and that's what I think your account is good, you know, for that, because it encourages laughter and it encourages finding the lightness in the dark.
A situationship ended very recently and it was the second time in a row that I had been dumped by a guy after he'd been for like a 15k run, and he like gained us both of them, like, which is so rude and offensive, but it's also, you kind of have to laugh at it. A, why am I dating men who are so weirdly into cardio anyway? That's a whole thing. I need to unpack that with like a therapist. B, like, it's like post-nut clarity, but like even ruder. It's like, I've just done the thing that's like the healthiest thing that I could possibly do. And it's given me the sense of clarity that I need to realise that, like, I'm not looking for anything serious with you. Oh, God, it's savage. That's but also so very
bizarre. That is so bizarre, but also, like quite funny.
That's what I'm saying. Even if it's a really bad situation, you can always laugh at it. But also get therapy if you can afford to.
I think those are both very, very good, important messages to end on. That is sadly all we've got time for today. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you are a new listener to Millennial Love, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever else it is that you get your podcasts. Please do comment and leave us a rating too, so that more people can find us. If you are more of a visuals person, I know we're not in the studio, but you can watch our glorious Zooming from the office and Iona's home online. If you're interested in that, just check out Millennial Love on Independent TV, and you can keep up to date with everything to do with the show on Instagram. Just search Millennial Love, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.